Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbo.
Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with Sky Sports and NFL UK. So we are recording our final podcast of the 2015 season, and we've done them in a store cupboard. We've done them on Radio Row. We have done them outside Levi's Stadium, and now on a bus heading from Santa Clara back to the media center. Jeff, the Denver Broncos are Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, when it's everything we thought it would be. It was a great football game. The defenses both played extremely well. If you're a Carolina fan, you just got to be heartbroken for your defense. They played heroically. You look at the numbers. Denver's numbers offensively are the numbers of a losing football team, but in this game, it comes down to turnovers and field position, and Denver won both of those handily.
Yeah, Denver didn't crack 200 yards of total offense. They were 1 of 14 on third downs, but they win, like you say, by two touchdowns because Carolina turned it over four times. They have, what, 12 penalties, something like that? Seven sacks of Cam Newton. I mean, and it was... I said it on the sidelines. I think obviously Denver's defensive speed was incredible, but I actually think for the first time in a long time, crowd noise was a factor at a Super Bowl.
You know, it was interesting because Carolina started a drive down on our end of the field where our booth was and where you were standing. I think it was in the second quarter, and the Denver fans just stood up en masse as Aqib Talib and DeMarcus Ware and some of the guys were calling for noise, and it felt like and sounded like you were at Mile High Stadium.
We said afterwards it really was it's a great story that Peyton Manning ended up as a Super Bowl champion again. He probably gets that chance to end his career in the way that only a few get to do on his terms as a Super Bowl champion, but this was a win grounded in defense, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's always going to be talk about what does this do for his legacy, and I think in some ways, Neil, I think it enriches his legacy because what he has been forced to do because of age and injury and, you know, lack of arm strength and mobility now as he gets to be 40 is he's had to change his game, and he's had to become unselfish enough to recognize that our ability to win is based upon me not turning the football over, me not, you know, trying to do things I can't do and taking what I can and scrabble drives together how best I can and not getting my defense's way. And that's got to be tough for a guy that's really had the weight of the franchise on his shoulder for so many years.
Well, you think about Peyton Manning in his heyday. When they had that 3rd-and-17, I think it was at the end of the third quarter, backed up near their own goal line. Peyton, in his heyday, is throwing that downfield, trying to pick up a first down, and he just handed it off to Ronnie Hillman. They punted and they got through the entire third quarter without conceding a point, and again put it on that defense's shoulders.
Yeah, and I give Gary Kubiak a lot of credit for this game plan because he came out in the first drive of the game, Neil, and they really opened it up and he got a couple things that you wanted to get. He took advantage of Harper's inability to cover, and that. That was evident. We talked about it all week long. If they could find a way to get him isolated man-to-man, they did the first play of the game, and they got the big completion, to Daniels. And then also, Josh Norman's a great player, but his aggressiveness at time in zone can get him into trouble. And that was the other big play. They divided the safety, brought a crosser across. He jumped the crosser, and they threw the ball behind him. And those were enough to get him a field goal and get him up three and get him some confidence. And that was really about the only drive they had in the game.
Von Miller was a beast all night long. I thought we were talking as we were walking out the stadium. I thought he was actually in the heat of the moment. That he had that awareness to strip that football from Cam. Cam's a big guy. You want to wrap Cam up and get the sack, and it would have been right down near the goal line. But I was right in line with that because I was level with the goal line, and he goes around Mike Remmers, as he did for much of the night, and he closed on Cam. And as he was about to tackle him to the ground, he was like, well, actually, no, I'm going to take the ball out. And that was a touchdown for Malik Jackson.
Yeah, and again, what a individual effort, right? He grabs the quarterback with one arm and then reaches in and rips it out with the other arm. And again, we talked about it all week, and I think when we did our final show outside the stadium, we said for Denver to have a chance, these things had to happen. They had to run the ball. Well, even though they didn't run it great, they ran it enough. Anderson had over 80 yards. I think he averaged like 5.5 a carry. they had to get turnovers, which they did, and they had to get field position, which they did.
Yeah, they did.
The punt return was huge. They started two drives inside of Carolina's 15-yard line. Well, when you do that, you should win football games.
Yeah, they scored on a turnover. They got points off turnovers. Even when Graham Gano missed his field goal, it led to good field position for Denver to go down and get three. I guess Peyton, as they wanted to put that help around him, he wanted to get by with a little help from his friends. He certainly did that.
I think that, you know, again, that was what we talked about after the game. This was a true team win for Denver. Obviously, the defense played tremendous, but their special teams were very, very good tonight. We saw the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. Norwood takes that ball back and almost takes it into the end zone. That's as close, I think, as there's ever been to a punt return touchdown in the Super Bowl. So, you know, again, those kinds of things allow you to play, you know, when you're deficient offensively, which they were. They did not throw the ball well. Emmanuel Sanders was really the only threat that Manning had.
What did Demaryius Thomas, one catch, one drop, I think, maybe in the game. And there was one, Jeff, actually, that they said on the commentary, good coverage by the Panthers, and it was, but I actually watched the throw. It was like a little post to the back of the end zone. He looked like he didn't want to run into the goalpost.
Yeah, he pulled off the ball. I don't think there's any question about that, and that's something that they're going to have to address in the offseason, because he just disappeared in the playoffs. Interestingly enough, I saw the little chess match that was going on between Kubiak and Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator. Normally, you know, you're going to put Josh Norman at left corner, and he played both left and right tonight to try and take things away. And in the end, when they really kind of throttled the passing game, they put him over at left corner, because Manning, coming into the game, had a huge tendency to throw the ball to his right.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think that was a great job by Sean McDermott. But the little things that wouldn't show up in the statistical categories, Neil, Denver did outstanding. Once they got ahead and they got it to a two-score game in the fourth quarter, if you noticed, every time they snapped the ball, there was two seconds left on the play clock.
Yeah.
They bled clock. They made it so tough for Carolina to get enough possessions at the end of the game. And then I thought Carolina was really too deliberate trying to get plays in. Once you're around that four-minute mic, you need two scores. You in the National Football League, you've got to get up and you've got to get plays.
Yeah, four-minute offense, right?
To
try and get
it
going.
Exactly.
There was one classic scene in the fourth quarter where Peyton's doing exactly that. He was clearly trying to just run that clock, and it was still a one-score game at that point. And he was it was everything. It was like backing right away from the line of scrimmage. Then it was the Omaha, and I thought, I wonder what he's going to do here. It was like a 3-yard run, you know. And when he was pulling away and doing all that, then Kuechly got up out of his stance and was giving his troops the kind of signals. So it really was a chess match. But they tried to sort of milk that clock as much as they can. We talked, or really, it's been talked about all through the week, what is Cam Newton's kryptonite, where same as any other quarterback, Jeff, pass rush,
absolutely. And again, when you know, we broke it down tonight and you watched it really closely, they did a great job. I think Wade's philosophy of walking guys up on the line of scrimmage so they couldn't slide the line and get help to the tackles, that was the first thing. And then giving both Ware and Von Miller the opportunity to basically free rush. And they ran a couple stunts. They got two sacks off of a really interesting stunt that Wade has, where really all it's called a race stunt, and all Miller does is just run high and try and beat the tackle around the corner.
Right.
And on the other side, they push the quarterback back to try and get the quarterback to step back, which, you know, if you look at Cam, and you made this point during the broadcast, he doesn't climb the pocket very well. He'll stand in the pocket and try and throw, because he's got such a big arm, throw off his back foot. And again, they took advantage of that, and that race stunt got them two sacks.
I'm not sure how he would have climbed that pocket as well, though, because the guys in the middle, they didn't get the same sort of flashy numbers, but especially looking at it down on the field, you could see that Derek Wolf, Malik Jackson, try and find a weak spot on this Denver defense.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because most of the game, Trey Turner, who's a very good player, was matched up against Wolf, and I thought Wolf played extremely hard. He's got an incredible motor. He just never stops rushing. And when those guys are going, they're interesting. And, you know, let's go back to the week when we had Frosty Rucker on. And he talked about how, in his opinion, and looking back on their game against Cam, that they had rushed too passively, that they had rushed just to contain him and keep him in the pocket as opposed to rush to sack him.
The previous two games that Cam lost were both to Dan Quinn coached teams, Atlanta and Seattle in the playoffs. And Quinn said this week that you have to kind of go for it. You have to be aggressive. You've got to take that risk. And he did that, and Wade did that.
Yeah, I think, and you know, even the couple of times that he got out, Wade didn't panic. There was no sense on the sideline, oh, my God, we got to keep him in the pocket. They just kept sawing wood. They just kept doing what they do. And he, you know, he ran the trailer blitz twice with the safety. I thought their dime package, when they got Carolina into third and seven or plus seven more, and they went six DBs, that stuff was really good. And that's really kind of not his thing. He's always been a straight man guy, and a lot of zone tonight, and it was really good for him.
Great story for Wade, who was out of football for a year and back in the mix and winning the Super Bowl. Great story for Gary Kubiak, who suffered a mini stroke when he was with the Houston Texans, had some health concerns, got fired at the end of that year, and is now back on top. I mean, that's this, what this game does, Jeff. It serves up these great stories.
I tell you what, now you talk about killer story. Here's one for you. Bruce DeHaven, who's the special teams coach for Carolina, has now coached in five Super Bowls and lost every single one of them.
Wow.
He was the special teams coach for Buffalo on those four that they lost, and now he was a special teams coach tonight. He's got to think. He's got the Midas touch. Everything he touched turns to mufflers.
Nickname him Jonah. I think we have now. Listen, we're on the bus. So we haven't going back. We haven't had a chance to digest all of the post game stuff that's been going on and how the players react to a win or a loss. Obviously, it's incredible polar opposites. I watched as the final gun went. I turned to the field and watched Owen Daniels just run across the field, look to the heavens, and you could
like
see
a little kid.
Yeah, just like a little kid. And it looks like from stuff we're seeing on Twitter that Cam's looked a little bit sulky, and I understand he's just lost the Super Bowl, but we've got to wait and see. I'd like to see it before I comment on it too much, but it does look like he was a bit sullen and sulky after the game.
Yeah, and you could see that really there, and this is the course of most football games, but about midway through the third quarter to the end of the third quarter, his body language completely changed. And his demeanor on the field completely changed. Now, part of that's because he was getting hit and rushed so much, but they were so frustrated. They couldn't get the things that were, you know, significant in their offense. They didn't run the ball very well, and they weren't able to get big plays. This is a team that has made a living. They had more big plays than anybody in the NFL this year and couldn't get. I think they might have had two passes of over 20 yards and no big runs, so you know, when you do that, you make them be good, and certainly they weren't good enough tonight.
And can it change a player's player's attitude when they're getting hit that much? Because Cam got hit three times in the previous two playoff games, and here he was left and right tonight.
Well, you know, it was interesting as I'm watching the game and I'm listening to the commentators and listening to you on the sidelines, and Phil Simms said that as he studied tape on Carolina's offense, the thing that struck him the most was how much time that Cam had to throw the football, especially with all the seven-man protections they run. And then you talked about, you know, the number of times he'd been hit all year. I believe you said
59.
I was like, holy Toledo, 59 in six games. That's incredible. You know, you guess some of the quarterbacks in the league get hit 59 times a month.
There was a moment early in the game when the team had just run out of the tunnel, Jeff, and the horse, you know, the Denver Broncos horse, I don't know what name it is, but it was literally stood right behind. Its back legs were right by me, and I thought, if a firework goes off here, this horse is going to kick me into the first row. But does Peyton Manning now climb on that horse and ride off into retirement sunset?
You know, I got a personal feeling about it that I hope he does, because what he has an opportunity to do by, as you say, riding off into the sunset as a world champion, very few guys ever get the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And what more do you have? This is what I would say to him. What more do you have to prove? You're one of the greatest that's ever played the game. You won two Super Bowls. You won one as a quarterback that had to make the plays to get your team enough points to win in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And you won one in Denver, where you were a game manager, and I think that's, you know, even enriches his legacy.
saw Marshawn Lynch retired tonight. Did you see that? It's like one of those things burying the bad news. He obviously wanted to get it out and have no one pay attention to it.
Well, I think that's, you know, again, not surprising by, you know, anything that Marshawn Lynch does. I think he's a guy that, frankly, I'm going to miss. And, you know, he's goofy as he is and some of the crazy stuff he does, he was really a tremendous football player. And, you know, but we have this saying in pro football, Neil, we all love football. Football loves nobody. And it's, you know, when your time comes, your time comes. And it comes for everybody in the game.
It was quite a season as we wrap up on Inside the Huddle. We'll be back later this week to probably take a more in-depth look at the Super Bowl and start and look ahead to the off-season, although there is no off-season. But, yeah, it was a good season, wasn't it, Jeff? I mean, it seems every single week the NFL turns up incredible storylines.
It's just, you know, incredible amount of drama. There's an incredible amount of human interest. There's an incredible amount of, you know, angst on behalf of the fans in some places and celebration by the fans in other places. And every off-season, if you will, and we don't use that term here very much because it really isn't an off-season, but right now, you know, all these teams, 31 teams, are going home trying to figure out a way to get, you know, back to the big one next year and win it. And one team will have an opportunity to enjoy it for about a week, and then they'll be in the combine preparation and draft and all the others. So, again, it's a never-ending cycle of football.
You said at the end, you know, very positive things about Carolina. I don't think they should hit the panic button. They are still a very, very good team. You know, on another day, this Super Bowl goes their way. They're that good. But probably both these teams you'd immediately put among the contenders because, you know, Denver didn't have to lean on the quarterback so much this year, and they might have Osweiler next year, but they might not have to lean on him all the way.
Well, I think that, you know, if you look at Denver, they're in a good situation. You got the two backs. You know, their offensive line, they picked up Mathis, you know, so they're better there. Owen Daniels has been a big plus for them. I would say they need to, you know, find another tight end. They've got good young receivers that can run. So, again, the offense is in good hands. Defensively, they are going to be salty again. You know that they're never going to let Von Miller out of there. They'll franchise tag him if they have to. Be interesting to see if DeMarcus is going to come back and play anymore. Two young inside linebackers, great secondary. So, you know, if you look at the Denver franchise, you say there's no reason they can't get back there.
Yeah. Carolina?
You know, Neil, it's funny. You know, we talk about Carolina all the time. And Dave Gettleman, who gets very little credit, has done an incredible job of building that football team. And Ron Rivera leads it with such, you know, consistency. Let's look at them, you know, just quickly, position by position. You know, obviously you saw tonight that they could use, you know, some help on the offensive line. That, you know, again, Remmers in particular struggled. But, I mean, you know,
So did most
Von Miller is the kind of guy that puts people into counseling.
Maybe they don't need to panic as much. You know, you've got to realize it's the opposition sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, Dixon and Olsen are two good tight ends. They don't have their best receiver. They played the entire year without their number one receiver, who was hurt all season. Stewart's still a fine back. Tolbert's probably got a little bit of time left in him. I think on the defensive side, when you look at it, you say, how much more are you going to get from Peanut Tillman if he comes back? How much more is Roman Harper going to be able to help you?
Yeah, need another.
Where's Cortland Finnegan in the whole process? So I agree with you. I think the corner is a place where they have to look.
It's always about the winners, but we should remember that Thomas Davis went the whole way with a broken arm. Jared Allen played that whole game with a broken foot. They won't go down in Super Bowl heroes, but they should be.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, and you look at what they did, and you mentioned the third down situation. We talked about the first downs. They gave up less than 100 yards passing. Less than 200 yards of total offense, and got put in horrible field position.
Yeah.
I mean, just any time a team has the ability to start three drives across midfield on you, and two of those drives inside the 20, you know, you can't expect that your defense is going to bail you out time and time and time again. But tonight, Carolina's defense played gangbusters. They really just got to be hanging their heads in their locker room, just saying, what do we need to do?
All right, so we're just going to wrap up on Inside the Huddle. I'm going to lean forward to the row in front because the great Sean Gale is sitting with us. And, Sean, just one quick question. What does defense win?
championships.
He's cock a hoop, Jeff.
You know, it was funny. We're up there in the stands, or up in the booth, and we're watching it, and they flashed the stats up there. And I said to Sean, I said, shit, Sean, that's the 85 Bears. Yeah. That's the way you guys used to play.
Sean, John Elway actually, okay, bring you in now, Sean. John Elway said it was the best defense he'd seen in 30 years, which would mean the 85 Bears. What did you think of Denver's defense?
Oh, I got to tell you, those guys were relentless. You know, Jeff mentioned it. With offensive stats like that, and you still win the game, your defense had to play an incredible 60 minutes of football, and they did. The big question that I had was, how is someone going to really stop and shut down Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Well, they showed everyone how to do it.
All right. So the final word there to a Super Bowl champion, and over to you, Coach, for the final time in 2015 season. It's been an absolute blast, but we will be back in a few days. Say goodbye.
Aloha.